One of the great paradoxes of life in America in the 21st century is that we live in a land that celebrates freedom, and yet so many people choose to live in bondage. Take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Psalms. We're going to go to the 103rd Psalm, to be exact. And as we turn there, I just want to highlight this truth for us, that as we come into this building today, as we begin now to kick off the July 4th celebration of Independence Day in our country, the truth of the matter is that so many people, even the people who populate our churches, have chosen to live in bondage in the land of the free. I don't believe that America would have been ever considered great had it not been for God's blessing upon us, for those who came over in the first place, escaping some of the religious intolerance of Europe, coming this way in order to find a place and to found a place that celebrates freedom, and freedom of religion in particular. But I want to suggest to you that simply celebrating freedom of religion does not ensure that you don't live in bondage. As you come in here today, there probably are many of us in here who are in bondage to some of the choices that we have made in the course of our lives. Some of us are in bondage to addictions that we have, that we carry with us, maybe even some that have been carried on from generation to generation in our families, and we bring those in here, and we are living at the mercy of those things. Maybe we're living in bondage that's caused by some of the choices of people around us that lock us in to a life other than what we would choose if we could. In Psalm 103, David writes this. In order, it's a poem, a poem that masquerades as lyrics to a song, and a song that was used in the worship of Old Testament Israel even through into our day. And these psalms become some of the songs of life for us as followers of Jesus Christ. This is a great psalm. You probably remember some of it as I begin in Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Some of you use that after you've begun eating already, and you waited to pray until you already had food in your mouth. Bless the Lord and all that is within me. But I want to take you to verses 6 through 14 today. We are intentionally brief today. But that doesn't mean that there's not much to hear in what God has to say to us. In Psalm 103, verse 6 through 14 reads this way, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He'd made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, as the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." In that passage, there are a number of different characteristics of God. And those characteristics of God translate directly into the bondages that we carry with us. So I would suggest to you today that as we look at a few of these characteristics, that we begin to scratch the surface, and I hope that you will go home and take your Bible study spade and dig deeply into the truth of these words. Who is God? And how, in understanding who God is and developing and nurturing our relationship with him, how can we be freed from the very things that keep us in bondage, even though we don't want them to? Let's look first. Oh, by the way, I'm going to take all of these out of verse 8. We can find plenty of work there for all day, much less a morning worship service. So let me go back and read it again. Verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." Those of you who know good Old Testament and even New Testament studies will know that those verbs, those words and those descriptions that we have of the character of God are found multiple places in the Old Testament. God reveals himself this way because it is his character. We would expect if it shows up once that he would show up various places throughout his word to remind us of these things about who he is that help us to appropriate peace and freedom in our own lives. So we take the first one, the English Standard Version, which is what I'm reading from, uses the word merciful. I think maybe the NIV does too. But the word that most translations use for this is the word compassionate, which actually is, if you go digging on, you know, some people really like digging on the etymology. Entomology is insects. Etymology is a study of words and development. And if you go back and study this particular word, you will find that tied to the root somewhere was this idea of the womb, W-O-M-B. And it points to a natural bond between two, especially from a superior or one who is more in the authority in a relationship and an inferior or one who is a recipient of the other person's love and compassion. Carries the implication of that, of this deep love that is a natural bond that pulls us forward. Let me give you a quick story about that. Teresa has a new dog. Her name is Bella. I didn't name her. I was looking for something like Rocky or, you know, Killer or something like that. But Bella is the name that she came to us with. She's a rescue dog. She's about 2 years old. She's a standard poodle. Now, we don't say standard poodle around her because she thinks she's more special than standard, I can be sure. But Bella came to us as a rescue dog, and she had not long before we got her had puppies, and allegedly she was being used as a puppy mill, and that's one of the reasons she's a rescue. And so a friend of ours who rescues dog just waved her in front of Teresa, and all of a sudden she was our dog. And Bella's something else. She's a young mother. But she's a young mother without puppies because those puppies, part of a puppy mill, were shipped off probably earlier than they were really ready to be shipped off. And that was part of how we came to know about it and all of that. And so she's been settling in at our house for a couple of weeks now. And she is Teresa's dog. I mean, she follows Teresa wherever she goes. She waits by the door if she's in another part of the house somewhere, and she'll just lay down on the floor and wait for her. She's something else. But we saw something over the last few days. You know, last week, my daughter and son-in-law and one of their three children were here, and Declan came to Vacation Bible School, and John and Lauren went up into the mountains for a week. And so as they came back, this neighbor of ours, who's a dog rescuer, waved another dog in front of our family. And suddenly that dog became Lauren's dog. That dog happened to be one of the puppies for Bella. It's not that cute, okay? I know you. Teresa said it is that cute. But here's why I bring all of that up. This word is compassionate, right? And it has this connotation of one who is the greater as they invest in the one who is the lesser. And so I watched this motherly instinct of a dog who had been separated from her poodle. It's a poodle, old English sheepdog cross. She's already eating bags of food. And I watched as that puppy came into the house, and all of a sudden Bella went from being attached to Teresa to being protective of her baby. And so when they left, Bella spent about 30 minutes just running through the house looking for her puppy. Now that's a little sad. That's this word. So we have to take this word and that kind of love investment. And we understand that it's used by David in this psalm to talk about God's character and how he responds to us. Isn't it good to know that God loves you more than a dog loves her puppies. Okay, that's a good place for a yes, sir. It is a good thing to know. No, too late. You already hurt my feelings now. Gracious, compassionate, merciful is the word in our translation. Compassion. Hear me very carefully now. God's compassion provides us with a freedom that comes with belonging. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are His. And His compassion compels Him to be invested in you. So many people in our world are digging and driving and clamoring for acceptance. Many people in our world do all manner of stuff just so that people will like them. Many of us spend much of our lives in bondage to the past, in bondage to things we did while we were trying to be accepted by somebody else. And God is compassionate. And He reaches to you. And He says, "You're mine." And God's compassion gives me freedom to be me. One more. Let's talk about slow to anger. You know, we've been in the book of James, and James already talked about anger a little bit. But here we find also in verse 8, I believe it is, let's read, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger." You know, literally translated, that slow to anger translates as long of nose or long of face. It's a picture word for us, and it probably comes from that reaction, that emotional reaction when our anger bubbles up within us and we just want to let it go and attack people with it. And the picture here is that God is long of face. It's kind of like this. Aren't you glad to know that God's very character means that He will never fly off the handle at you? That He will never have an immediate passing rage moment where He scorches the earth because of His anger. God is slow to be long of nose. Think of someone as their nostrils flare with anger. God doesn't get there quickly. It's not to say He doesn't get there. We've been studying the minor prophets this summer, both on Wednesday night and on Sunday night, and there's clearly Old Testament evidence that God reaches a point where He says, "That'll be enough of that from you." But it doesn't get there quickly. I'm grateful for that. I suspect that you are as well. And that gives us a number of things. You know that many people live in fear of God's wrath? They live their entire lives cowering because they're just afraid that God's going to go off on them. I think we have to have this healthy sense of understanding that God is righteous. That's another one of His characteristics. And He's always going to act in consonance with His righteousness. That, by the way, that means for America today that if God has held His people to His standard of righteousness and the way they behave and the way they work, and if God has done that historically, and He has, then He must hold America responsible as far as the Christians in America. We have a more wicked society here in America today, the land of the free. You are so free in America that you can be an idiot in the way you treat other people. But God will never just turn His blind eye to that. But we want you to hear, and the psalmist wants us to hear, that He doesn't get there quickly, which means there's graciousness, and I've already skipped over that word, but you can go back and dig on that one. Many people live in such fear of God's wrath that they lose sight of His character. And it gives us freedom to live without fear of God being angry without grace. So how is it for you today? Did you bring some kind of bondage in here with you? He abounds also in loving kindness. That means that he's going to meet us where we are in the midst of our struggles. Wouldn't it be a shame to live in the land of the free and choose bondage in our life? Only God grants freedom. Only God can give you the freedom that you need. Freedom from your past, freedom from mistakes, freedom from different character traits that you have that are less than godly, freedom from pain, freedom from regret. What's your bondage today? And where's God in that? Let's pray. And as we pray, I just want to give you an invitation. If you're living in bondage, if you're carrying bondage with you today, go to the God who is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounds in loving kindness. Go to the God who grants freedom to live. And Father, now we come to invitation time. We ask that you would make that possible. Draw us to yourself. Help us to put aside all of those ridiculous reasons that we hide behind for not coming to you in the first place. And transform us into your image, into your character, so that we might be agents of freedom. We pray. We pray as fervently as we know how that you would return America to be that kind of people in our generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing. We are